Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
So before we start today's show, I wanted to get a word from our sponsor. So who here has tried to sell a house and been told by a real estate agent, yeah, mate, yeah, this piece of shit of a house, I'll get you $800,000 for this, no worries at all. Only to be told 3 weeks later, or 2 weeks later, or whatever, oh no, you'll have to drop the prices. You're just not getting any interest. And then it gets passed at auction, and you're stressed out trying to sell it, because you've got mortgage payments, bills, and everything else that comes with life. Well, stress no more. Barry Plant Craigieburn will look after you without the stresses of trying to sell a house. I've had first-hand experience in selling a house with Barry Plant, and have smashed the reserve price quite easily both times. Also, if you are looking at renting an investment property, they will look after you as well with getting the best tenants possible with thorough background checks. You don't have to do anything except watch the rent come into your account. Barry Plant will take care of everything. No stress and no worries. Just ask for Damien Cavalli at Barry Plant Craigieburn or any of the other friendly staff and they will look after you. Just say hashtag kangaroos or Dean Vasek recommended you. Also, Damien's a North supporter, so he's more than happy to chat about North while he's looking after your best interest as far as buying or selling a house or even renting an investment property. So just call Barry Plant Craigieburn on 9305 5533 or go to www.barryplant.com.au. Anyways, that's it. On with the show. Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at hashtag Kangaroos or on Instagram at hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So today I'm joined by Monday regular Claire Cozzi to dissect our fighting, gritty, not too sure what other words you can say, especially when you lose inside 50 count 41-18. And there was no more goals after quarter time and the game was pretty much played in our back half for the whole time. So yeah, no, it was, look, a win's a win at the end of the day, especially in finals. We'll take anything we can get. And why not dissect it a bit more with Claire Cozzi and talk about it? So I won't hold you up anymore. I'll bring on Claire right now.
So I'm joined here by Claire Cozzi. Now, Claire, it was obviously, I'm not too sure what words we can use to explain that win, but I think it was a shin boner fighting spirit sort of win. How did you see the game?
Oh, I mean, the absolute sheer relief that radiated off my body was when Carney was able to take that mark and then she got the 50 and was able to ice the clock. I just felt like when all those girls started jumping on top of each other and hugging, and you can see Sarah Wright in the background and she's just got her arms over her head and her facial expression is just really, I think, captures for what I think is, you know, the sweetness of the victory, but also the pure relief of getting across the line, because respect to the women on the field, respect to the Geelong Football Club and North, but look, it wasn't the prettiest game I've ever watched of footy, and I don't know whether I'll ever watch that game again. I think that one can just kind of go down as a pretty intense final between two sides, and North getting the 4 points in the end and rolling on to next week. So very, very happy with the results, and very relieved given... Yeah, those last 2 minutes were, I was pretty panicked. I actually was at the Fisher concert as well. So I was like, I was with a whole bunch of people who were, you know, partying and everything. And here I am with my phone, like trying to get reception, trying to watch the AFLW match. So, yeah, it was a very interesting collide of worlds. And I knew, this is the thing, it was the agony and the ecstasy. And I think I tweeted something like that because if we had lost, I would have been absolutely gutted because I know that we're a better performing team than that. But then again, you look at the inside 50s and you look at the dominance that Geelong did for extensive periods of the game and you think, well, we were really lucky to get over the line there. So mixed bag of feelings, but very, very happy to be playing the Tigers this week. So feeling good.
Yeah, I mean, we got away with it. I mean, you look at the inside 50s, 41-18 for the game. I think that at one stage, at three-quarter time, when I watched the replay, they said 35 of the last 42 inside 50s belonged to Geelong and they hadn't kicked a goal in that period. Now, did you think at quarter time that was you weren't going to see any more goals after that?
No, no, it was. It was a very strange match to watch. Geelong, respect to them. Geelong have a brand of football that is Gladstone's. It's a very strange brand of football in the sense that they are able to kind of withdraw all the strengths, which for North is the overlap run, it's the carry, it's the spread, and using their mids to rotate through. And Geelong, to credit to them, were able to negate that by really playing quite a contested type of football. I think it would be remiss of me not to mention the wonderful Amy Smith, who we spoke off air of having a pretty standout game with 17 tackles. And I think she's been consistently improving in small chunks across the season. It was really great to see her get highlighted after the game, after a huge effort. And playing that lockdown kind of defensive wing role, which is really great because, you know, she's a debutante at the club. It's her first year, so it's nice to see those kids step up. Even looking at the score, like Geelong ended up kicking 1-8, so technically nine scoring shots to North 2-4 to 6. So it was reminiscent of, you know, the Tigers game in the sense that we were peppering shots on goal in the third quarter and just weren't able to convert. And I just felt the same for Geelong. They had so many inside 50s. They had opportunities to score, but they were just really, a bit of an unluckiness, but also, yeah, the defenders need to have credit where credit's due. They were able to go back into sinking back into the hole and repeat the kind of defensive intercept marks all over again. So, like I said, not the prettiest game I've ever watched of AFL, but definitely I was incredibly happy and relieved to get the win, especially down in Cadinia Park. It's not the easiest of places to travel to, so pretty happy about that one.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much played in a defensive 50. I mean, our defence held really strong, and they put in an overtime shift, really. I think I tweeted the other day, they should ask for an overtime allowance of time and a half for that game because Ferguson was fantastic. I think you mentioned Bresnahan off air as well. Brilliant.
She was incredible.
They're right as well. Just has the ability to be that spare in the back line. And Emma Carney having her back there as well, just giving us that rebound really helped. We were able to drop numbers back, but the problem is when we hacked it out of there, it kept coming back in. We couldn't get the ball out of our defensive half. And I think we spoke off there the last couple of weeks, we've really struggled to get the game on our terms.
Yeah.
And when we don't get it on our terms, it seems to stay on the opposition's terms for far too long of the game. And we've got to rectify that, don't we, going forward, if we want to make an impact in finals.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of times where instead of looking for a short, composed kick and hitting a 25 or spreading and using the width of the wings, it was very much just rushing on off your boot and try to get the ball out there so you can reset again. And I don't know why. Maybe it could be a testament to the fact that it was a very contested game and maybe the athletes felt a little tired and maybe they weren't as composed with their foot skills. Also know that Geelong were really good at taking away our handball game. I felt like we didn't really utilise the running and overlapping, and I think that's something that really plays to our advantage. I didn't see that a lot. I just saw really rushed kicks across the defensive half, and then it was a ping pong between the half back line and North's defense for quite a bit of the game. So you're right. It's something that we do need to rectify. And I think having Erica O'Shea back next week will be really helpful in terms of having a bit of speed to utilize. But then also holding your structure and holding your formation. And I know Talia Randall and King are tall, and therefore, it's hard to play that lockdown defensive role, but it's not hard to stand in front of your opponent and just get in front and make sure that, Emma King can clunk a few marks on the wing or in the stoppages in the center so you can make sure you can slow the game down and give a bit of run to the mids to catch up forward. So I just felt, I think there's a real opportunity for our half forwards to play a little higher and then try to play a little bit more of tempo football by just doing contested, maybe even uncontested possession, and just chip around a little bit and build and build and build so we can get a bit of more shape in the forward line. Because I think that's the most dangerous thing about North is when you do have Vicky Wall or Abatangelo or Lisa Lachlan on the end of a chain of a really good setup of a forward entry, we can convert. There's no issue there. Like, you know, we are, our small to mid-sized forwards are really decent. It's just that they didn't get enough look at it, did they? I felt like Geelong were really good at negating our strengths, because our strengths are our small to mid forwards, and they took advantage of our, and respect to Emma King and Tali Randall, I still think they played all right, but like they took advantage of our tools and being, you know, the amount of times that Meg Mack was able to kind of just sit in the hole and take an easy mark. And look at, I don't know whether you saw the highlight, but Vicky Wall was able to absolutely smash Meg Mack in a contested possession, and was able to get finally her hands on the ball, and we could finally set up a forward structure that would work. And unfortunately, it didn't result in a goal, but I think we got a point from it. But that's what I mean by making our tall forwards a little bit more accountable and playing in front. And just, yeah, I think that's something to definitely work into, because I know Beck Miller and Shevlin and a couple of the Tigers girls, watching them on the weekend against Brisbane, they've got a very strong defence, and they're very strong tall defence as well. So I think, you know, if Crocker and the leadership team are doing their homework, they know what needs to be taken advantage of, and that's our small to mid-sized forwards. I think that's where the game needs to be won. And similar to Richmond, to be honest, they're kind of similar. I think they're forwards like Amelia Yasir, Ali McKenzie off the wing / through the middle, they can make a real big impact. Even Grace Egan and Mon Conti. I think the game will be won with the capacity of how well the small to mid-sized forwards play next week. So should be interesting.
yeah, definitely. I mean, I sort of tweeted this. It was our first game under lights, and I think we struggled with conditions. I can't remember who it was on Twitter sort of said, we look like we're really struggling with the ball below our knees. We're fumbling a lot. And I think that's just the ball being a bit dewy during the night game. We were very fumbly. We weren't as clean as we've been throughout the course of the season. So that, I think that played a part as well. And, yeah, when we did go forward, yeah, there were one-on-one options with Emma King, which, yeah, she usually plucks one or two of those marks. And I felt like if she plucked one or two, she might have been gone back and kicked a goal, which would have just relieved the pressure a bit. But, she dropped a couple. And even, I think you mentioned off there, you were surprised that she dropped that one where Abitangelo got the goal, the first goal. Just wasn't her night.
No. It's just, things weren't really working out for her, I guess. And, yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, if you can bring the ball to the ground, if you can bring your small to mid-sized forwards into the game, and it just so happened, it was more luck than anything that Abba was there ready to kind of get that kind of ball and convert. But, yeah, I do feel like Randall took a ripper mark, and, you know, her aerial, that's the thing about Randall as well. She's able to kind of bring, you know, the contest to her. She'll often drag a couple of defenders with her as well. So it's about taking advantage of those opportunities, getting it to ground, making sure that, you know, Wall, Alisa, Lachlan and Abba, and I know Charlie Granville, she didn't play, but like as in that small contingent forward able to kind of be lively and buzzing around, always looking for a goal opportunity. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how Crocker, given that we've played Tigers 2 weeks ago, Carney's back, Rennie's back. Rennie also, like, you know, how good was it to actually have a rock? I thought it definitely made a difference in terms of craft around the ground and being able to, and I think Geelong was still decent in the stoppages, but it was just, you could tell Rennie, I just felt more comfortable watching Rennie in the ruck and her navigating herself around the ground. It felt a little bit more safer in her hands. Just no disrespect to Emma King. It just, you know, she's a 90% ruck player. And I thought that was quite evident on the weekend. But yeah, having Carney back, I think she leads by example. She's a incredibly hardworking, I think, player. And so everyone kind of stands a bit taller around her. I also got to give credit, like it was dewy, and also they would have been really nervous down there. I think sometimes we think, oh, it's just down to Geelong, it's an hour down the road. But technically, it's, you know, it's an away game against a team that's higher on you in the ladder. It's an elimination. There's a lot to play for, so you know you've got to consider the nerves and the excitement and everything kind of jingling around at the time. So if you look, though, at both lists, respectfully to Geelong, I do think North has got a superior list. I think it's just a little bit more well-balanced. And therefore, the result kind of swung our way just because we had the leadership on field. I think Geelong will be really good in the future. I think they've got a real good skeleton with Amy McDonald, with Nina Morrison, with Georgie Prasparkas. I think they will be something in the future to be wary of. But I think, yeah, if you look at the two lists and even if you look at the disposals, North dominated the disposals. You have King, Garner, Riddell, again, all the usual suspects in the top disposal users as well. So it'll just be interesting to see, yeah, next week how we navigate the tag on Jasmine Garner and what that will look like, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, before we move to the Richmond game, yeah, I mean, it was, like you mentioned Kim Rennie before, and it was important to have her into the ruck. She, like you said, she's a full-time ruck. Ruckman or ruck woman, I should say. That's her craft. Where Emma King's more of a forward that goes in the ruck, and you just noticed against Richmond, she gave away a couple of silly free kicks.
Yeah,
Emma King, which really hurt us, and that tap in the third quarter, just down the corridor, where you see Kim Rennie in the defensive 50, always tapping towards the boundary line first, rather than actually going back towards the corridor, where it is dangerous for opposition teams to score. So yeah, it's just little things like that. Having Emma Carney, I mean, if we didn't have Carney and Rennie this week, we probably would have lost.
I agree.
So it's important to have those girls back. And it'll probably be important to get Erica O'Shea back this week, hopefully. Like you said. Well, we might as well move forward. We're still in it. So
absolutely.
It was an ugly win, but a win nonetheless, and that's the way we like it at North Melbourne. We like
exactly.
our ugly
win. It's very on brand for us, having a nice gritty win. It makes me think about that. Do you remember the final that we played against Geelong? Lindsay Thomas kicked four in the first quarter. It was the MCG, and I reckon if it was 30 seconds more, we would have lost because it was Geelong had put on like six goals in the space of, 10 minutes in the last quarter, and we were just crying for the siren. I think Big Toddy Goldstein took a huge mark in the maybe the last 20 seconds of the game to ice the clock. But it kind of felt like that. It kind of felt like a very gritty, hard win and very satisfying. But onwards and upwards, we've got the Tigers next week at Punt Road, which has caused a fair bit of, I guess you could say, myself included in this, fair bit of banter and responses over Twitter. I guess my standpoint is that if you have the capacity to move a game of football that makes more fans be able to go to the game and engage with the game that is still very much growing and it's in its foundation stage, I think that opportunity should be given irrespective of home ground advantage. Where do you sit with that one, Dean?
Yeah, I mean, like, I know Geelong cried poor a couple of years ago. They wanted the home final. I think it was against Collingwood at GMHBA Stadium, but they wanted MCG because of crowd capacity. I just don't understand why the AFLW wouldn't do that as well. You can get to Icon Park, you'd probably get 15,000, to be honest with you. There'll be a fair bit of North contingent and Richmond contingent to the game. It's a great way to promote the game. 2,800, I mean, that's just not going to cut it. The ticket's sold. I understand that they want the home final because they finished higher in the ladder and so forth, but it's not a fair fixture anyway.
I think that's what it comes down to. I think my frustration stems from a lot of things, but I was pretty fiery about the fact that, respectfully to Richmond, they have beaten one top 18, and that was Brisbane a couple of months ago now, and some would say flukish type of win, and so how they've ended up in the top four is the beneficiary of a pretty softer fixture in comparison to what other teams have had to go through. So when Brendan Gale came out and said that they'd earned the right to have the game at Punt Road, I thought it was an interesting choice of language given the status of who Tigers have faced this season and, how they have fared in terms of the inequality of the fixture. So interesting choice of words. Also, massive double standard from Brendan Gale in the sense that, I cited on Twitter an article in which he had asked the AFL to expand or change the venue of a game based on the men's team and fans having access and Richmond fans having access. And we know what it's like. We know that, Geelong don't get to play their home finals down in GMHBA, because if they play clubs like Collingwood and Richmond, they have to sell it to the G, which is not a home ground advantage at all. So, yeah, I'll be very fascinated to see how this all kind of plays out, because, yeah, the AFL at this moment I don't think have really handled it quite well. I think there was a bit of a background with the Matildas game being on the same time, so a bit of a clash. Yeah, and then also this. I don't know. I just think in the infancy of growing a game, the best thing you can possibly do is try to engage with your fan base as much as possible and try to include them on the journey. And I think this is a bit of a missed opportunity. And again, I'm not attacking or having a go at any, you know, the Richmond Football Club, the AFLW program, the players, the staff. You know, I'm not having a go at that. I just think it's a very interesting choice for your, you know, your president to come out with those words when does it really reflect the whole approach of what your club is about and what AFLW stands for. So, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. I'll be very fascinated to see if they budge. I'd love to see it at Icon. I think it's a much more fitting stadium. And, you know, I think Gemma Bastiani, who works for the AFLW, you know, put up a statistic of Richmond actually play a lot better away from Punt Road. You know, they actually are a decent team on the road and at different venues as well. So in terms of home advantage, inverted commas, I don't know whether it does have the edge. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as if – it's not as if, like, it's, you know, Brisbane playing at Metricon or it's – you know, Adelaide playing it at, you know, that interstate advantage, I 100% agree. I think there's something to be said about the travel and the familiarity of the ground, but I don't know whether the Tigers necessarily have much of a home advantage at Punt Road. So it'll be very interesting. I don't know what will happen. Do you reckon they'll change the venue, Dean, or do you reckon they'll keep it?
It doesn't sound like it, but unless there's public pressure, even Richmond supporters want the game moved.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to even play there. And this is, like you said, this isn't against nothing against Richmond or having a favourable draw against us. It's the principle of the whole thing. It's getting people to the games. And Punt Road, it's a shit ground to watch.
It's not good.
Football. You have to stand on a small hill with about, you know, thousands of other people squashing in there. Otherwise, it's flat. And there's no food there, really. There's one truck, big food truck. You can't get a coffee. You can't get anything.
I agree.
I don't understand it from the AFLW, to be honest with you.
No, it's a collective issue, isn't it? I can't see any Tigers supporters online, you know, vying for a home game. I think they collectively know what a missed opportunity this is if it doesn't get moved. So I don't know. I'd also be very interested to see how the players kind of react to this as well. Like, is there a bit on the line now? Is there a bit like of a somewhat of a chip on the shoulder? Or I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it. I can't imagine someone like Emma Carney caring that much. She's just like, we've got a game. We've got a game to win. Don't care where I play it. I just want to win the game. So I guess it's more about selection, isn't it? And who kind of gets the nod and who comes in. You'd imagine Erica O'Shea, if fit, comes straight back in. And I'd wager, like if we're talking about who goes out and who goes in, you'd think, unfortunately, someone like Hannah Bowie goes out. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, that's probably the only change that will happen to the team. Maybe, like, I've been, well, nothing against Taylor Gatt. I think she's had a good first year for a, you know, 17, 18-year-old girl. But I think she'll keep a spot, and it's either her or Hannah Bowie. And Hannah Bowie just came into the team 2 weeks ago, and that was for Emma Carney. If Erica O'Shea was fit, I think she would have gone out anyway. She didn't have much game time from what I've seen.
Anyway. I saw that as well. Yeah, I did notice that actually. Yeah.
She seems like a good little player though. Like she's got a bit of talent.
She's got a lot of potential. She's got a lot of upside to her. But if you look at the exact swap, I didn't think and I love her, but I didn't think a different position, but I think Tess Craven had a great game, I thought.
No.
But again, different position, so it doesn't really matter. She's saved for another day. I think Hannah comes out, Erica O'Shea goes back in, and then the team has some flexibility with how they want to news Garner if Carney goes through the mid a fair bit. Even I wouldn't even mind watching Gavalis go through the mid. I noticed that she's still not 100% match fit. But again, she her presence in that forward line and her pressure and her knowledge and skill, I think, is unmatched, and she gets another game. Carney had a good one, Mia King, 22. You know, Riddell again had a couple of, she had 20 disposals, and she was a bit probably not as efficient with her ball use as usual, but you know, that's final pressure as well. And then, yeah, I mean, usual suspects like Bruton had a blinder again. I thought, you know, Bruton's one of those players where we probably don't give her enough credit. I think she's definitely, you know, she's probably, she reminds me a little bit of an Andrew Swallow in the sense that, you know, just a really hardworking gut runner that gets to the contest and consistently tries to do the right thing. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense?
She's very underrated footballer.
Yeah, won't ever get the accolades because of the simple fact that she's in a just a star-studded midfield. But, yeah, I really, really rate her at the contest, and I really like watching her and Garner match up and just find each other and be very quick with her hands. Or have just she's got very good game awareness, and I just, yeah, I really respect her hard running. I think she's, yeah, she's a very underrated player, so... She'll be good against the Tigers. I'd be very interested to see if North pull the trigger on potentially tagging Conti. Or
who would possibly go to her, you think?
Well, I thought that. And I thought, you know, is Jenna Bruton the one that would do that, given that, you know, Conti's unmatched in terms of her capability of, like, you know, she's very agile. She's very speedy. So I don't know necessarily where the Bruton can go with her in terms of pace. But in getting to contest and stoppages, you'd say with Bruton's capacity to tackle and just kind of really, really, really put on, I guess, make it hard for Conti all game, she seems like a natural person to go to her. I really like Mia King going more offensive. Garner, I wouldn't go. Riddell, nah. I think I'd go Bruton. If I was going to tag Conti, I'd probably chuck Bruton on her for the day. But, yeah, unsure. Would you tag her or would you just go head-to-head?
Nah, head-to-head. I like our midfield. I like our chances against them. Now, you talk about taggers. Now, Meg McDonald's going to go to Jasmine Garner, if anything we can read from the 2 weeks ago. How do we fix that? Because she was ineffective in the first half in particular. I think she had 5 touches, no clearances in the first half, and finished the game with 13 possessions, I believe, and 4 clearances.
Yeah.
Do you think that you know, we can throw an Emma Carney into the midfield a little bit more, throw Garner forward and go one-on-one with Meg McDonald inside the 50? And because... I mean, that's how she started her career. She started her career in inside, you know, inside 50 player. So do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be, if we were playing mind games, my ideal setup at the first bounce would be Carney, Riddell, Bruton in the centre with King Rennie, and I'd be pushing Garner forward. And I would be, you know, you want to dance? You want to play this tagging role? Then let's go it. And let's kind of just, have a bit of, because, I mean, it's when it comes to finals, it's also about, you know, the mind games and what the strategies behind things. So I think having your captain in the first bounce is a real symbolic kind of, we're here to play footy and we're here to win. And also it's going to be a lot different to how the terms that you played footy against us on Arden Street a couple of weeks ago. So that's how I'd line up. I'd definitely put Carney in the middle for the first bounce with Riddell, King or Bruton, like a combination of those three, with Rennie and Chuck Garner up forward, and see kind of what happens. And then you just kind of roll with the punches. You see how the game is working. Garner's incredible in the sense that, you know, she can push high up and then kind of be that outlet, you know, if the ball goes defensive. So, yeah, I think it's really important that there's some strategy of how to make sure that Garner is best utilised. Because, you know, we always bloody won the game without Garner having a touch. When I say having a touch, she's still got 13. But yeah, that's what I mean. I just think that it's one of those things where we probably need to best utilise her in the forward line if we're going to play such a hard tag on her. And that might help, yeah, McDonald, and that might just kind of shift and upset Richmond. I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting. It'll be very, very interesting.
Yeah, I do like it. I like the idea. I want teams to react to us and what we do. You know, they sort of see Emma Carney in the middle, Garner forward. All right, who are we going to chuck on Garner? You know, she's outside, you know, the centre square. And then, you know, it might be an option. Well, she starts the outside the centre square and then we push her as an extra midfielder. Then they react to that and you know, we might even chuck her in the, you know, defensive 50 for periods of the game and they react to that sort of thing. So, yeah, you want the game on your terms and get the opposition reacting to what you're doing rather than
we've
been the last couple of weeks where we've sort of we haven't reacted too well. We did in the second half against Richmond and we're probably pretty close to winning that game, only like less than a minute away from winning that game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you know, you get Emma Carney back this week, Kim Rennie this week, Erica O'Shea. You've got a full list, pretty much.
Yeah.
Touch wood, barring any injuries. I just think, we're going to set ourselves up, the way we want to play and the way we want to, you know, dictate the game rather than actual last couple of weeks where we've just been on the back foot a little bit and reacting to the opposition. So,
yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's nice to have that advantage. It's nice to feel like you're in control as opposed to, yeah, continually moving the checkerboard and moving stuff around and throwing magnets on the basis of what other people are doing. So, yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think it's going to be a very – and that's the if Richmond are going into this game thinking it's going to be similar to 2 weeks ago, they'll be up for a pretty big fright, given how much shape and leadership and just skills and experience that Rennie and Carney bring to the team. And it just allows, like, I mean, ideally, I haven't checked the weather. Ideally, it's a nice game and we can really utilise the tools in Randall and in King up there, because I just felt like you said, like, you know, Emma King, great forward, really good tall target to hit. But, yeah, just gave away a couple of silly free kicks and it opened the door. That's the biggest thing that I want to see from North is I really want to see a big first half of football and a considerable amount of score involvements and some real overlap runs, some spreads, some carry and some set shots on goal, because I think we can take marks in the forward 50. We can lock the ball in. And I want to see kind of from the get-go, from the first bounce, North play that brand of football. Because I think that's what happened a couple of weeks ago. I think Richmond were able to score something like maybe 2 or 3 goals in the first quarter. And I know they had the win advantage, but it didn't feel like that typical brand of North that we'd seen all season, that kind of relentless, hard first at the stoppage and gut running. So it'd be nice to see them kind of rejuvenate that brand and come out, I guess, yeah, first quarter raring to go. And I think there'll be a bit in fire in the gut from 2 weeks ago. I think North will feel like they're a bit cheated of that top four position. So I'll be interested to see kind of, yeah, the fire in the belly and whether they're able to take that energy and kind of show it within their performance, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100% does. And, I think we'll be, yeah, much more prepared this week, because I don't think Richmond have got many more, you know, bullets left in the chamber as to throw at us. I think they threw everything at us in that round 10 game, trying to get a top four spot, whereas we sort of pretty much rested Emma Carney. We weren't, you know, we didn't want to take any risks. And Kim Rennie, you know, was late to draw, unfortunately. Yeah, we've got, bullets left in the chamber and we still drew. Yeah, we didn't play.
And that's it. Yeah, and that's what you've got to consider at the end of the day, is that I think that's the best. That's some of the best football that Richmond have played, of being able to link and like you said, being able to take their opportunities and their shots on goal. They had far less opportunities. If I'm just going back into the game, they had far less opportunities, but they were just able to convert a lot better than us. And I think I watched also, I watched the Brisbane game. I'd be fascinated to see who plays, whether Sarah Wright or Jazz Ferguson goes on to Brennan.
Yeah, she kicked three, didn't she? Yeah, she kicked three goals.
Yeah, yeah. She had, oh, look, respectfully to Katie, I think she's a pretty good player. I'd love to have her at North, but there are a couple of junk time goals, if I'm being honest. Like,
yeah,
I,
the last quarter when the game was over. Yeah,
yeah, and that's it. And it's one of those things where, you know, when the going gets tough and the tough gets going and you want your big key forwards firing at pivotal times of the game to keep you in it. But I'll be interested to see, yeah, Courtney Wakefield, I thought, had a pretty decent game against us. So Richmond kicked 4-3, seven opportunities to goal, and then we kicked 3-9. So we had 12. We realistically, it was one of those games where you just – it was the game where ABBA had, you know, scored three behinds. We shanked it out in the full. We just didn't make the best of our opportunities. And I think I'm really hopeful. I've got all my fingers and toes crossed that there's a bit of fire in the belly, and there's that – even maybe like – you know, again, who knows how much AFLW players actually think about this, but, you know, do North feel like, you know, just getting the – not allowing their supporters in and not, you know, expanding the game to Icon, is there a bit of a chip there to play with as well? Like, anything that can get you over the line. I'm not a very competitive person because my greatest tragedy in this life, Dean, is that I adore sport, but I just can't play it. So I don't know what it's like to kind of get that white line fever, or, you know, you have to use things to kind of really just draw that level of intensity and that competition out of you. And I'll tell you what, if I was Darren Crocker, I'd be really going deep into those places and trying to draw out the best way that these girls can kind of get across the line. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm nervous. How are you feeling about the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm probably more confident now than I was in round 10.
Wow, really? Oh, because of the outs? Because Carney.
Yeah, because out. I've only got Cohen. I mean, we can't underestimate the leadership of Emma Carney as well. I think that makes a big difference. And that's the reason why we beat Geelong. You know, just having her in defensive 50 probably calmed the defenders down. They looked a lot more composed. Sarah Wright were playing Katie Brennan. She did a good job on her last time, kept her to two behinds. And Jasmine Ferguson did a good job in Wakefield last time as well. So I'm confident in that. And she will get help from Sarah Wright as well. So, yeah, look, I'm fairly confident. And like you said, I don't think, you know, Punt Road, I don't think it's this big home ground advantage that, you know, Brendan Gale seems to think it is. I think we play the ground all right from what I've seen in the last couple of years. So I don't think that holds any, you know, problems for us. So I think I'm confident. I mean, it is a finals game. Anything can happen in finals.
Yeah.
There is a certain level of expectation and pressure. But I just think that first win relieved the shackles a bit. So I think we'll get a good support at Punt Road. And, yeah, I think we'll get a two-goal win. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'd like to be as confident as you. I think deep down I am confident. I think I'm trying to play it cool. But I look at the list. I look at what they've put together this season. I look at how bitter that they were post round 10 loss, and the relief and that kind of momentum that finals can give you when you get the win. So I do think we will win. Will my stomach churn and be knotted from, you know, 8 a.m. Saturday morning all the way to the siren? Probably. But, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think there'll be that much in it. I think there'll be a margin of about 2 to 3 goals max, and it will go North's way. Just, like I said, I think there's a bit unproven when it comes to North, and I think they'll be very – very keen on proving to themselves that they are a top four team, that they do belong in a prelim, and that they have the list to kind of show that. I saw a couple of tweets about Crocker, and I get it. Like, you know, we're all passionate fans. We're all really dedicated to this club. So I saw a couple of people be like, you know, Crocker's got 20 minutes of football left to decide whether he's the head coach of the women's program. And, you know, like, everyone's just chopping each other's heads off. Everyone's just like, and that's it. That's sport. That's the passion that comes out of you. And that's like, you know, I'm sure afterwards. I've been to games where I've definitely shot my mouth off Twitter, and then I've had to, like, you know, go back and be like, oh, probably should delete that one. That's not great. It's not anything discriminatory or anything, you know, negative or unkind. It's more just like, because you're so built into it and such a huge part of something that you really love and care for, you get quite enthusiastic, maybe sometimes too much. I definitely think the inclusion of Carney back there, Rennie will be playing in the ruck, and then Erica O'Shea to come back in, I'd say North by about 15 points. And I really hope someone like Vicky Waugh can break away the game and really just kind of use her speed to push off and tackle and hit the contest with a bit of grunt and force. I think, if I'm being honest, I think I would like it to be a bit physical. And when I say physical, I don't mean anything untoward. I just mean I want to show that North is a competitive side that is not going to kind of be pushed to the side. Like, we are happy to, you know, get in tight at the contest and really apply that stoppage pressure. I don't know, like, as in... I want, you know, we spoke before about, you know, we want teams to react to us. I would like to see North come out and, you know, shake hands and respectfully, like, this is a game and we respect each other, but it's on. And from every minute that, you know, Richmond are out there, we overwhelm them with numbers at the contest. We, you know, we swamp them with tackles, with pressure. We don't allow any, you know, free-flowing football. I want it to be relentless pressure, constantly on them, constantly ready to kind of attack is what I'd like to see, because I think that that realistically is a really good brand of football. And I saw a bit of it against Port a couple of weeks ago. I think it was kind of grabbed them in at halftime and said, you know, this is not who we are. And then you could see in the second half that pressure and that unyielding kind of force that North were able to take that ultimately kind of won them the game. Even against, you know, Collingwood in that, I think, the second or third quarter where we won the game and kicked something like 5 goals, we just kept on going. We were constantly in the contest. We were outnumbering. We were running. We were overlapping. We were providing so many scoring opportunities because we were just relentless. It was amazing to watch. So I'd really like to see that against the Tigers this week from the first bounce, is that, you know, willingness to go to every contest and be there and support and really overwhelm them. So that's what I'd love to see.
I think the second half against Richmond is probably an indication of how we want to play against them. That pressure was just, they couldn't handle it in the second half. And that's the brand we sort of want to bring.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think you're right. I think if we can do that, then, we'll jump them at the start and we'll just be too hard. Because generally when we jump teams at the start that we don't, we're pretty well set up that we're not going to concede big scores after that. No. So that's what I'm hoping will happen anyway. So
yeah, so am I. I think, good to get some early goals, really find some, hit our straps, and then, I back in our defence to defend a pretty tidy lead as well. I think they've been incredible down there. I think I really, really enjoyed Sarah Wright, Jazz Ferguson, Brezhnahan. I think even Brooke Brown. It's been a wonderful season for someone like Brooke Brown. I think she's really come in bounds with her capacity and her different ways that she's been utilised as that kind of tall outlet. I've really enjoyed watching her game. So, for me, it's North Melbourne by about 15 points. Hopefully,
more confident than what I had.
Yeah, well, I've turned my tide. I'm very, you know, you could ask me tomorrow, and I would have said no. Richmond are definitely going to win. I will change my mind about 100 different times during this week. I'll do that much analysis. I'll be looking up data of, you know, which Hoskins had the most tackles, and, you know, should we put. Yeah, you know, should we match up with Conti or, I'll be doing a fair bit of analysis throughout the week and I'll change my mind a fair bit. But I want to say on public record, I have the Kangas down for 15 points. Hopefully not at Punt Road. Hopefully it gets moved to Icon. But irrespective of where we play, I think we'll get the win, which will be amazing.
I think you're right. I think we'll get a win, and I think I think you've talked yourself into believing that we will get a couple of wins now. So whether it's you, so it doesn't really matter. Anyways, Claire, I better let you go. I think you were having a conversation with the president before I asked.
My last thing is I'm just always profoundly blown away with how kind and generous people are of the North community. Like I say it all the time, it's a small and mighty community, and I'm always it's really nice to see people come together and to enjoy this club together. And it just, yeah, when I popped up on Twitter that unfortunately I wasn't able to grab tickets just because of work commitments, I had several people reach out to me and just kind of offer their tickets, or they'd try to source one for me. And it was just really kind, and it reminded me of the best part about football. You know, the best part about football for me is the community that is behind it, and it's the people that make the game so wonderful and make it such a joyous thing to be a part of. So that's ultimately why I want the venue changed. It's not about, you know, taking anything away from Richmond. I 100% respect their program, but it's about making the game more accessible to more people, because I love it. I think it's such a beautiful and unique place that people get to share their joy and their passion. So, yeah, just the North community, you continue to overwhelm me with such joy and such kindness and such passion for the game. And thank you so much for all your messages and all the DMs that I've received about a ticket. I've got my fingers crossed that my dad and I will be able to go to the game together and share in, ideally, a win for the North Melbourne Women's Football Club.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. So, yeah, like you said, we're hoping that the venue will get moved. I haven't heard anything lately that it is going to get moved. It seems like the Richmond president, Brendan Gale, is pretty keen to keep it at Punt Road, but it doesn't really matter. I'm sure we'll get the win anyway. So, you know, I mean, it does matter, like you said. I mean, you know, a lot of people on tickets, and that's the most important thing. We want the game, you know, to, you know, become bigger, and, you know, this is a great opportunity to get 15,000 in Icon Park. So, yeah, we'll see what happens over the coming days. Anyways, Claire, I will leave you to it. Thanks very much for coming on the show once again. I really appreciate it. Hopefully I'll get you back here next week and we can talk about another win.
Absolutely would love to, Dean. Have a wonderful week leading up to finals footy, and hopefully same time, same place, celebrating another North win.
So thanks to Claire for coming on the show once again and dissecting that win. Well, I guess a fighting win. That's all we can say about that. Anyways, that's it for this show. I will be back on Thursday. I'm going to get Lozza on once again. She's got a lot of thoughts about the game being played at Punt Road as well on Saturday. She's obviously a little bit disappointed that it is there. And, yeah, look, I'll talk to her about that. Richmond, how they're looking and how they played last weekend, and the other games that are going on as well. Oh, well, there's only one other game, and that's Collingwood Adelaide, and the games that happened last weekend as well. So I'll be back for that, an AFLW podcast. So that's it for today. Thanks again to all you lovely listeners for all the efforts you guys put in, writing about the show, Matt Robinson, Daniel Powell, and number of other of you guys as well, and girls. It really helps out the show. It's getting out there more and more. It's going out to more North supporters, which is the most important thing. You know, it's a good platform for them to listen to. It's not just me rambling. It's other people as well. So, not rambling, but it's other guests as well, that other North supporters, and you get their thoughts on how the club is going. So, yeah, no, once again, I can't thank you enough for all the retweets, likes, comments, and you guys are doing. So, yeah, I really appreciate it. And, yeah, hopefully you guys can continue as well. Even a like is enough. You know, when I put a podcast out, that's more than enough. So the fact that you guys are going out of your way to do it, write stuff and retweet as well, it really means a lot. And I really appreciate it. Anyways, that's it for this episode. Like I said, I will tonight leave a shout out to Amy Smith. Bye for now.